add Yerushalayim, so that Arashariya Nochal Nigo Batuach Bashem, that he should become secure. Ki Yim Yosef Yavu Bo HaYetzer, if he'll meet up with the Yetzer, if Kesheo Bafam Bafam, as he had in the past, V'rabolof Tavosuch HaMishpat HaRishon, even if he gets back in the mindset that he had before, Lo Yeh Nifte Libo Libo Olof, he will not give in. V'yazov Darko, Kamosha Nehmar, in other words, after he feels the remorse and after he decided that he will not return to this chet, so after that, then he should come to Aziv Asachet to make sure that he doesn't do the Avera again. A person that got himself into a rut and he does something constantly that he's not supposed to, and this is, becomes a constant feature in his life. Vishona bivalto repeats it. Vishobun Ritzosa Gampomim Rabbis, many times he's violated this. Vicholis Oyev Horeya, Oyev Hora. And he's comfortable, he's happy doing this aver. He's focused on the Eitz Hora to do that which the Eitz Hora wants. He looks for the opportunity to do this aver. Reishis tshuva sa'ish hazeh, the first thing that he has to do is lazav darko machshav tero. First he has to cease the improper behavior. Or the haskim nekayim, or the kabbalah by Yosef lachto, that he should make sure that he doesn't do it. First he needs the determination to stop but not to do it. Achareikein yischarat ala leloysav, then he can first regret that which is done. Yizvada, and then to recite the Havidu Yoshua Hashem, and this is the Kamoisha Nemar, and this is the Posek that the Rambam tells us Yazir Rosh Darko, Vish Owen Machshavoysov, and then Yoshua Hashem Rachme. So, why is this? What's the difference between these two? Why is it that the first person who sins sporadically, the first aspect of his tshuva is the charota? The person that sinned regularly, the first thing that he has to do was aziv asachet, and then after that come to charota. So Rabbi Naftali Trub, Zeicha Tzadik Livrocha, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Radin, who we know for his lomdus, but he was a bal musar too. And he offered the following insight. We'll put it into modern terms. You have a person that passes by a sewer. So he passes by the sewer, and the stench is awful. So we run away. We don't stay there. You have a fellow that works for the sewer department. And every day he climbs down into the sewer, and he spends 7-8 hours underground in the sewer. He walks by the sewer, doesn't notice anything. Nothing's out of place. So we said, the reality, the essence of the tshuva is to feel the charota, to regret that which we've done, and realizing that we did something which was highly improper, that should motivate me to strongly commit myself not to do it again. That's ultimately what I need to do tshuva. But how can I come to such charot? Rav Naftali said, well, it depends. If it's an avera that I did sporadically, and I have no desire to do that avera, so I realize right away, if I just focus upon it, that this is a very negative type of behavior, and it's a terrible thing that I did. So I can have the requisite charot. A person that's steeped in the chet, it's like the sewer worker. What's so bad? Nothing's bad. But the first thing that he has to do is aziv asachet, is to pull himself away from the chet. And only after he's away from the chet for a while can he gain enough perspective to realize that something is awry and that he can start to have charota for that which he's done. So that's why there are two types of people, because there are two types of situations. one person still has the sensitivity that it's a chet. So he can have charata right now. The second person lost sensitivity that it's a chet. This chet, it's part of his life. So how can he have charata for something which he's comfortable with? So first he has to extricate himself from that type of behavior. And then he could first have the requisite charata to realize how bad this is. So that's why, that's the resolution. That's why sometimes we say Yazuv Rosh Darko. First we have to extricate ourselves from the chet. And after that, V'yoshev al Hashem v'rachmeyu. And other times, what we have to do is we can immediately approach the charata. Yes.
What about a situation where a person doesn't really like doing the chet, but he gets into a bad habit of doing the chet, and he feels bad when he does the chet? How does that person?
He probably, if he does it constantly, regularly, he goes into the second group. If you, Chayvus Alavovus is not a very big fan of people that do chatoim constantly, and after they do the chatoim, they regret doing them. He does not, that's not very high up on his list in the world of tshuva.
What about a person who feels bad every time he does the Aveira?
That means he doesn't have he lost already perspective on it. That's, you'll see in Chayvus Alavovus that he does not, he's not a big fan of such mode of behavior.
So then he has to have charata first.
He has to have azivasachet first.
So the person lost the perspective and they're doing it so habitually that it just becomes, in their eyes, it's like the super worker. Then what motivated them to leave the chet to begin with?
What motivates us? Rabbeinu Yonah talks about different motivations. One could be that he learns the halacha, and he learns it intensively, and he starts to focus to realize this is something I shouldn't do. Sometimes a person, Rabbeinu Yonah says, he has a musa drosha, and that's what inspires him. Sometimes a person meets setbacks in life, and decides that he has to elevate himself. So there were different. Sometimes Rabbeinu Yonah says it's the advent of Yom Kippur. Under the focus of Yom Kippur, the world looks a little bit different. So people can be motivated to step outside their normal confines. So there are varied motivations. But you're right, the more a person is comfortable with it, the harder it is for him to change course. That's why Chazal say that once a person did a chet v'shonabo, once he did it a second time already, it's nasus lo kaheta. There's a certain dimension that he lost the measure of his bechira with his chet already. It became a little bit compulsive already. And he doesn't have the full bechira that he once had. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah is very, very big. At the beginning of the Sefer, Rabbeinu Yonah talks a great deal that a person should do tshuva quickly. Because he says if a person doesn't do tshuva, he'll extricate himself from the Aveira. So remember that it was a very bitter pill. And he won't continue in that path. But if he puts off doing tshuva, if the opportunity, the situation of the chet arises again, he'll fall again. And it'll be in a lot worse shape. It's not only did he Aveira twice, but the second time that he does the Aveira is much more humble than the first. Why? He didn't expect, he never fell in this way in life. So he didn't expect that he such a nisoyim would come and he would lose. After he realizes when he was challenged, he didn't have the strength to stand up to it. And the Yetzirah overwhelmed him. And I don't have enough strength to fight the Yetzirah as I am now. So you should realize that he's exposed. But Loshes AIDS has been afshow, so now I'm in a desperate shape. I'm defenseless. So I have to look for some means of maximizing the Yerushalayim, Lahusabo Yerushalayim, Lahapu Pachto Yolel, so that I should not just remain where I was, subject to the Yetzirah. Ulahatza Mimara Yitzu, Lishtamra Me'avina, to escape the net of the Yetzirah. So that is another aspect to it, besides the one that Rabbeinu Yona talks about here. Rabbeinu Yona talks about increasing the Yirah Shamayim. The Balei Musar added another aspect to this. And that is that I have to use the Yetzirah in some regard to push me to do what's right. Give me a simple example, but you can extrapolate this to many, many cases. The person that wants to get up, he wants to go to the minyan in the morning. But he has a hard time, he wants to go to the daf yomi, whatever it is. But he has a hard time, he keeps sleeping through, he doesn't get up. So, this person though, one thing about him, he's crazy about a good cup of coffee. Crazy about a good cup of coffee. He'd almost kill for it. So he has to tell himself like this: if I get up for minyan in the morning, so I'm gonna go down to the coffee shop that has this phenomenal coffee. I'm gonna buy myself a coffee in the morning. But if I don't go to the minyan, so I'm not gonna buy the coffee, and I'll live today without a good coffee. Now, tomorrow is now 6 o'clock in the morning. And he has a shaila if he should get up again or not. So, on one hand, it's comfortable not getting up. But now he has a new cheshbon, besides the fact that the mitzvah to get up. Listen, look what I'm going to lose if I don't get up. I like a good coffee. I lost my good coffee yesterday. And I'm not a wimp. I'm not going to go buy the coffee if I don't get up. That much of a wimp I'm not. So now I have a different cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon now is, which is better? To sleep another half an hour or a good cup of coffee? So now it's not a fight between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. Now it's a fight between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hara. So I have a chance of winning. So it's not only to harness Yirah Shamayim, but to find the practical means of creating a Yetzer Hara to do the mitzvah. So as I work those two together, I might succeed. So this is the first aspect of tshuva. Shiyaza v'achayti cheta. V'yasiru v'machshavto. He has to remove it from his mindset. We don't only say that a person should do tshuva. This for what he sinned. The Rambam later on comes back again to this pasuk again of Yazan Rosh Adark. In the seventh parak of tshuva, the Rambam tells us the following. The Rambam spent two prokim now explaining that a person has bechira. Since we know that a person has bechira, kamosha bi'ar, yishtadel odom lasas tshuva. A person should endeavor to do tshuva. Ulizvados befi bechatov, and that he should do tshuva. Ulinor kapov mechatov, and to shake out his palms from his sins. Kdei sheyomus bubal tshuva v'yiske. And here the Rambam tells us, Al Toyma, She'ein Tshuva Ala Me'aveira She'yesh Ben Maisa. Don't think that Tshuva only affects those things which is an action that's involved in them. Agon Znus, immorality, V'gezel U'gneiva, theft. Ela G'shem She'tzorach Odom Loshu Me'elu, Kachu Tzorach L'chapis V'deyos Ro She'yeshla. We have to examine our midas. Loshum and akas, from anger, and eva, from hatred, and akina, jealousy, and ahitol, from a frivolous attitude to life, umredifas hamomen, and from being in strong pursuit of money, vahakovod, and the desire for honor, umredifas habacholos, and looking for the best food constantly, uchayitzibem, and akol torof lachso b'tshuva. The Eidu Avoinus caution me Yisim Sheish Ben Maisa. These chatoam even worse. Shabbosman Shodom Nishka Be Eidu. Caution who lifroish mehem. These are harder to correct than Maisa. Vichenu Oimer. And where do we see this? And he quotes this passage again. Yazev Rosh Adarko Vish Oben Nachshav Eisov. So Yazev Rosh Adarko is two things. It's the Maisa, that's what the Rambam talked about in Perek Beis. But then the Rambam goes on and says, "V'yosem imachshavta," to remove them from my mindset. The other Rambam is already in reality what the Rambam is talking about. The ultimate level of that is when we correct the midas which drive the chet in the first place. The Talmud of the Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital, the great mekubel, he wrote a sefer that's called Shari Kedusha. And in Shari Kedusha, yes, it's a very interesting question. It is, why don't we find specific mitzvahs to have midas toivus? There's some general statements, but a specific mitzvah in the Torah, the Taryag mitzvahs, we don't find specific mitzvah right there from his perspective. So why is that? He says the reason is because the mitzvahs stand upon a foundation. That foundation is midas toivus. After that comes the Taryag Mitzvahs, the 613 Mitzvahs. So Mitzvahs already presuppose that I have the proper foundation. I have the platform on which to stand. That's the 613 Mitzvahs. So, why does a person do a chet? If our midas were flawless, we wouldn't do chatah. It's because we have aspects of personality which are not properly worked out. And therefore, when we're faced with particular challenges, we fall. So it's not enough only to correct the action, but we need to correct what's underlying, what stands behind it. I've mentioned at other times that whatever you did to Zerushivan Eretz Yisrael or Moshe Chodosh, his father was a Talmud of the Alter of Slobodka Rav Meir Chodosh. It was the long time Mashgiach of Chevron Yeshiva. So when he was in Yeshiva, he went to his father and his Chabura, they wanted to start learning Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the Halachos of Loshon Hara. And his father was not overly enthused about it, so they couldn't understand why. So he spoke to him. He said, "It's very nice that you don't want to speak Loshon Hara." He said, "But you're putting on band-aids. It's good to know Sefer Chofetz Chaim, but you're putting on band-aids." He says, "You need to address, why do you want to speak Lashon Hara in the first place?" He said, "If you had the requisite Avas Yisrael, you wouldn't have the desire to speak Lashon Hara. So, we'd be a lot happier if you decided to address the root issue than put on band-aids. To understand what drives the chet in the first place. You want to live that. You have the Yetzer Hara to do the Chet, and then you're going to try to wiggle out of doing the Chet. Address the issue with its source. That we don't have the proper Avas Yisrael. And then maybe you'll get there."
When Rav Chaim Vital says that all the mitzvahs are based on midos, is he talking about transgressing a negative mitzvah? Because like a positive mitzvah, like the tefillin. You put on the tefillin. How would you understand what's the underlying mitzvah in doing a positive
adam l'machal? No, there's a lot of things that are necessary. If a person doesn't have If he's too lazy, he doesn't do the mitzvah properly. If he's self-absorbed, so the mitzvah is a perfunctory act. He's not sensitive to the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Why? Because he's living in a world where his ego was important, where a sensory satisfaction is important. So the mitzvah is okay. It's a cultural thing. They have to do the mitzvahs. But is he consumed with a feeling of the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom and a desire to do Rotzon Hashem? He has a lot of other things in his mind.
Right, but a person could say, I'm going to put it on, I'm going to be careful in it, I'm going to do it. And he could have like all the midos run over, but he's determined that he's going
to
do it.
So he still has to, there's still midos that he has to. Means it's not every midah touches every mitzvah.
Right.
But in the challenges that we face to mitzvahs are going to stem from issues of midas, ultimately. If he's not going to put on tefillin, he's too busy to put on tefillin, he can't bother to put on tefillin, he's chasing money, he doesn't have... The things that might push him away from tefillin are rooted in his midas. That's what the Chaim Vital is getting at.
Ultimately, it's Gaiva and Taiva at the base?
Well, that's according to the Gro, those are the that trumps everything. According to the Gro, learns that the two shroshim of all the midas are gaiva and taiva. That's what they would do the Gro's perspective. But kvira is rooted in gaiva or taiva, one of the two.
It's from the erber and yitzra, the
two yitzra,
the erber.
Yeah.
Those
are the sources. So. When we talk about the Rambam talks about Yosr Mimachshavto, it's not enough that I stop the action, but I have an affinity to the Aver. I have to sever that affinity, and that means to address the factors within myself which lead me in that path.
Is that the Pshat Ish Avin Machshavoso?
Yeah, that's Yosr Rosho, and that's why, by the way. The Rambam in the beginning of the seventh parak, and I've always looked at it in this fashion. The Rambam is a wondrous thing. The Rambam gets the parak Zion, and all of a sudden the Rambam says, "Hoyel or Rishus Nesuna." Since I just explained to you that man has bechira, he spent two prokhim explaining bechira, so now you have to do tshuva. Yishtadlo adam lasas tshuva. Wait a second. What shayach to talk about tshuva altogether? The Rambam wrote. Before he started to talk about Bechira, the Rambam wrote four prokim on tshuva. What shayach to talk about tshuva for if there's no Bechira? Why do I need to do tshuva? I didn't do anything wrong. If I have no Bechira, the Rabbeinu Shalom did it. He wanted from me. It's his problem. And then, if I did do something wrong somehow, how can I do tshuva if I don't have Bechira? So all of a sudden, day after four prokim on tshuva, the Rambam says, oh, by the way, you remember you have Bechira. And now that I established you have Bechira, Yishtadl last week. I mean, Yishtadl. It's a chiyuv to do tshuva. The Rambam writes in the... It's not like the Minchas Chinuch writes, but the Rambam writes at the beginning of each section, the Rambam tells us the mitzvahs that are involved, Hilchas Tshuva. And right under that, the Rambam writes, "Mitzvahs asay achas." There is one mitzvah. This prokem. V'hu sheyoshuv achoyte mechetu lifnei Hashem v'yizvada. That the sinner should do tshuva and confess. That's it. The Rambam is clear cut. There's no question. Tshuva is obligatory. So all of a sudden, the Rambam is talking about. Then all of a sudden, the Rambam goes into the matter of bechira. The whole of Rishus called him the Suno. Now Yishtad the Lord and lasted Shuvah the Zvadas b'fimechatov. And what happened until then? But here the Rambam particularly is talking about the Yaz of Rosh Hadarko v'Yishov and Machshavayisov, the Shuvah and Midas. And that's why the Rambam, of course, there has to be Bechira. If there's no Bechira, the whole Torah doesn't exist. But the Rambam's point is that Bechira is so encompassing that a person could change his personality to his midas. And that's what he says. Now that's much more difficult to change. So the Rambam says, so what is a person supposed to do? Yishtadlodim lasas tshuva. I should endeavor to correct my midas. It's not so simple. Tell me, a person being mechallel Shabbos, or stop being mechallel Shabbos, and that's the end of it. It's no big process that has to be involved. And midas, it's not an act. It's the way my personality is formed. It's not just so I can't just press three buttons and it's going to be corrected. So that, all I can tell you is yishtavo. I'm chuyev to work at it. Now to work at what? Yazir rosh adarko yishov nachshav esef. Now, let's continue. The Yigmar Beliba was the Kabbalah on the future, Shelo Yaseyuid. And to put myself in an absolute state of mind that I will not do it again. Shenema Yazav Rosh Adarko, V'chein Yisnachem Al Sha'ovar. A person has to regret that which he did in the past. Shenema V'yachari Shuvi Nichamti. Now this is one aspect which is particular to tshuva. Rav Itzla Petterberger talks about this. Aziva sachet is not inherently part of tshuva. Why? Suppose for a moment that chas v'shalom there would be no such thing as tshuva. That's it. We sinned. Goodbye. We're going to get it. Now, does that give me license to do an avera tomorrow? No. So that means that ziva sachet is necessary. For what reason? No, because it's wrong. That's not inherently part of tshuva. Charota on the ova, yeah, that I cannot do the avera henceforth, but I don't not mischarot. I don't regret that which I did. That's driven by tshuva. Kabbalah ala osid is also necessary. Not to do the Aveira again. Vidui is not necessary. So the real aspects which are tshuva driven are charota, regretting that which I did in the Vidui. But the aziva sachet, the charota,
yeah,
and the Vidui.
Kabbalah,
it's necessary not to do the Aveira again. Aziva sachet in Kabbalah, even if there wouldn't be mitzvah tshuva, I would have to do. I have to forego the chet, and I have to put myself in a state of mind to make sure that I'm not going to do this Aveira again. So those are driven in reality by, not driven by the process of tshuva, the necessary steps in the process of tshuva, but they are not driven by tshuva itself. It's in the Rambam quotes a pasuk, "Yachare shuvi after I did tshuva nichamti." I regretted that which I had done. And here the Rambam tells us, "V'yoy d'alav yodea talumais," and this has to be to such an extent that the one that knows the mysteries of our heart, the Rabbeinu Shalom, will testify shelo yoshlo zeachet la'ilam, that we're not going to return to this chet. So we have here, we have the essence of tshuva's charota for the past, the aziva sachet, kabbalah, and vidu.
In terms of acceptance of the future, we have to do it. The Rambam, that's one of his three that he elucidates. The Rav seems to be making a between them. So how? Accepting not to do it in the future is also.
It's a chelik of the aziva sachet.
Okay, so that you're saying is not integral to the tshuva.
In and of itself, it's not a tshuva driven. It's driven, I believe, more by the necessity of not doing the avera again.
But the Rambam, when it's brought down, that chilek isn't brought down.
Well, because it's necessary. You can't do tshuva without it.
Right.
But it's not driven by mitzvah's tshuva. Even if there wouldn't be mitzvah's tshuva, it would be true. It's a necessary step to do tshuva. But it's not driven by the mitzvah of tshuva itself. It exists independent of the mitzvah of tshuva.
You have to
realize that's not, has nothing to do with doing tshuva. That's a separate obligation that I have. that something's wrong, I'm not allowed to do it. It's not to question if I'm doing tshuva, I'm not doing tshuva. If I'm not zeicher to do tshuva, it doesn't have anything to do with it.
But it's counted as one of the steps.
It's necessary. You can't do it without it. That's what the Rambam is going to write. Kol mitzvah devarim. If a person did vidu, and according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is the vidu. Well, Gomer believe a lazev, and he didn't have this mindset to be oizev the chet. Or is a doim of the toil of a sheretz beel. It just doesn't work. The tshuva doesn't work. Sheinat pilem or elis lo atchiyash the chasheretz. The chayna oimer, and that's what the pasuk says. The moide of oizev. If you confessed and you foregone doing the chet, then you rucham, then you'll be forgiven. But a confession without a zivas achet. Now this is particularly, it's striking in the Rambam. The Rambam Shita in Hilchos Tumah V'Taira is that when does a person achieve Taira? When you go under the water, when you come out of the water? Poshit, I would say, when you go under, I was Tavel, that's it. Once I went in the water, I was Tavel, that's it, I'm tall. The Rambam Shita is that the Taira is only achieved once you come out of the mikvah. Calls man, you're in the mikveh, you're still not tor until you emerge from the mikveh, until you pop out of the water. It's the Rambam Shita. So, a toivu v'sheretz biyodo means he has not even a moment of tyra. It's impossible. Because the tyra can't be achieved until he comes out of the water. When he comes out of the water, he has the sheretz, so he didn't accomplish anything. He didn't get any place. So, there's a process of tshuva. The process of tshuva, according to Rambam, is principally, is the vidu is the main step. The charotetu. But the problem with, if I don't have a zivas achet, so I'm a toivu b'sheretz biyodo. That means, what do you do? You didn't get rid of the source of the problem, so how do you want to be forgiven by the Rabbeinu Shalom? Nothing changed in me. That's why the Rambam doesn't say in terms of It's the mitzvah's tshuva itself. No, mitzvah's tshuva is the vidui. But if I don't have a zivas achet, I'm a toivu v'sheretz biyodo. I didn't accomplish anything. Then the Rambam goes into halacha dalet. Halacha dalet be'ezus Hashem, we're going to come back to on part of halacha dalet on Shabbos Shuvah. So that's where my intention is to investigate part of halacha dalet on Shabbos Shuvah. Midarkei atshuva. Now, what does the Rambam mean, midarkei atshuva? And the Rambam tells us, Lios Hashov Tzoyek Tomud Lifnei Hashem, that the one that does tshuva should be mispalo constantly, bebechi besachnunim, pleading before the Rabbeinu Shalom, voiced stoko kefichoicho, he should be a bald stoko, to give charity, umisrachik harbim en adobo shechotobo, and to keep himself far away from the chet that he's done, Umishana Shmoy, and to change his name, Klomar, Ani Acha, Veni Oiso Aish, Shaosa Oisara Maisan. I'm not that person, I'm a different person. Umishana Maisov, Kula on the table, Derecha Yeshoro, and then Vigoylam Mekoymoy, and to go into Golos. Why? The Rambam tells us, Shagolos Mechaperes Oven. Even a person's personal Golos is a Kapora. When a person's in Golos, when he's not in his place and sitting where he sits in the world, he feels he's humbled. From being humbled, he'll do tshuva. So what does the Rambam want? Midarkei atshuva. What is midarkei atshuva? We just said, what is tshuva? The Rambam just wrote mahi atshuva in halacha beis, and he told us. I need charot, azibas achet, kabbalah, vidu, etc. So what does it mean, midarkei atshuva? But to achieve tshuva to the extent that we should, there are other aspects which are not inherently part of mitzvah's tshuva. But if we want to succeed at tshuva, we have to be involved ourselves in those aspects too. Now we'll see, for example, the Rambam tells us, among the things that a person has to do, I have to keep myself distant from where I've erred, where I've stumbled in life. Meaning to say, it's the activity that I'm going to stay away from is not an Issa. We're not dealing with the Yisr itself. The Yisr already achieved Azivas Achet. But there are factors which could readily bring me to that Chet. So I now have to make the Asus Yog the Torah to stay away from the things which are close to the Chet. Now that is my own Geder. Chazal didn't make that as an Yisr Darabonah. But the Gror writes in Mishlei that Chazal legislated what's necessary for all the Klal Yisrael. What everybody needs, that's what Chazal legislated. Each one of us has to legislate for ourselves. And each person has to know what his Nisyon is. One person is very uptight and very quick to grow angry, so he has to figure out how to stay away from situations which are going to get him angry. Because he knows if he gets too close to those situations, he's going to slip right into it. There are other people that are chilled out. And they're unflappable. I had an uncle, Olav HaShalom, one of the first Talmidim of Rav Leibowitz, that no one ever saw him angry. And it's not that he hid in the closet his whole life. He was a person in public life. Tremendous responsibilities. No one ever saw him angry. No one ever heard a harsh word from him in his life. And related to others, that his grandchildren or the Shloshim wondered if this was an acquired behavior or was born that way. So I spoke after them and I said, I can tell you that my uncle, Olav HaShalom, was born that way. How do I know? I know from my mother. He was, from his earliest youth, he was unflappable under the most trying of conditions. I said, what made him great was that he developed that to be such a formidable force in his life, that despite all the pressures of life and the pressures of public life, he had no lapses. That was his godless. So he is a person probably that didn't have to worry so much. He could put himself in types and let him busy himself, whether he did or didn't, but he could have allowed himself to be in situations where most mortal men would not come out unscathed. Because he was totally unflappable. So a person has to know himself. What hit the areas of weakness of his personality, what his strengths are, and where we've sinned, so we know we're weak. So we have to push the line back further, that we shouldn't come too close to the chet. So the person that comes to do tshuva, in fact, has to go further than the person that hasn't sinned. The person that hasn't sinned can walk in a different place. He's not so concerned he's going to sin. It hasn't happened to him in his life. The person that has sinned knows that this is not one of my strong points. So I have to move the line back another 10 yards to stay away from it. So the Rambam is talking here about, not about tshuva itself, but about the things which enhance the process of tshuva. So the Rambam talks, the first thing that the Rambam tells us is liyos hashov tzoyek tomed lifnei Hashem bebechi besachnuli, to be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that tefillah is multifaceted. That tefillah is the Rabbeinu Shalom should give me sufficient strength to do tshuva. He should give me sufficient strength to sustain myself in the tshuva that I've done. He should give me the wisdom to avoid pitfalls. And he should accept my tshuva as being sufficient to give me kapah. So there's a lot to be mispalaful. But all of these are necessary steps for a person to enhance the process of tshuva. The Rambam tells us, "Umishane Shmai," to change his name. To change his name means that there's a mind. There are other pshatim in it too. One simple pshat is Rabbi Nayana says in Yisera Tshuva, which we find in many machzorim, Yom Kippur machzorim, that when a person comes to do tshuva, he has to feel that he's free of chet. We can't ignore the chet because we're coming to do tshuva, but a person has to feel unburdened. A person has to feel that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam stands ready to accept me and the Rosh Hashanah is accessible to me no matter what I've done. Now, only if I look at it in that particular perspective will I be able to do tshuva. If I feel so crushed by having done something improper in life, so where will I muster the strength to do tshuva? But if I realize that I can reach the Rabbeinu Shalom no matter what I've done in life, and the Rabbeinu Shalom stands ready to accept me no matter what I've done in life, so that gives me the strength to do tshuva. So that's a mishana shmoy. It means a person's attitude towards himself. A person should not look upon himself as if he's a Rosha. If he looks upon himself as a Rosha, then how could he do tshuva? How is it possible to do tshuva? So a person has to feel, ani acher, I'm a different person. Ve'eni oisa wa'isha osa oisa ramasim. I've become a different person. I have the possibility of being different, and therefore I can do tshuva. And once I do tshuva, I have to look at myself. I've now achieved a different status. I'm a new person than before. And I'm not mired down by what came before. Just the same way I'm not mired down by the chaton, by the guy that sits next to me, I'm not mired down by my own chaton that I did last year. When I've done tshuva, I'm a different person. And I have to see myself as a different person. I'm not where I was a year ago. I have a different access to the Rabbeinu. I have a different standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And what came before, so what? Does it affect me now? So that's a very important positive step that a person has to take. To realize that we can extricate ourselves from chet. And the me that did it is not the me that I am now. It's a tremendous step. But the Rambam is telling us that's one of the things that the Gemara tells us is a mishanash. I'm a different person. I'm not that which I was before. And that's how people are able to make at times remarkable changes in life. Remarkable changes in life. They could go from being chaitim and become very righteous people. Why? Because they believe in the process of tshuva that the door stands open for me. The rebellion doesn't close the door. I merely have to take the step to go through the door. But once I go through the door, I've left behind everything that came before. It's all behind me. Has no connection with anything which exists now. So these are steps which are necessary in tshuva. To ask for siyata dishmaya, to create the necessary barriers between ourselves and the chet that I personally need to succeed. And to believe in the process of tshuva. To believe in the process of tshuva. If I believe in the process of tshuva, then the Rabbeinu Shalom could assist me. And people sometimes in life, they have to, if they didn't have the belief in tshuva, it would be crushed. There was a man who was Isaac, and helping Holocaust survivors, you know, translate the necessary documents or file the necessary affidavits. So, in a book of his he wrote, he says, I was walking once in New York City, and I passed a shul, I think a young Israel, passed a shul, and it said that tonight is going to be a lecture from so-and-so about the Via Yisrael. So I went to the shul office and I wanted to contact this person. So they wouldn't give me his personal information where to find it. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go to the lecture that night. And I went to the lecture, and after the lecture I walked up to this person and I said, you know, I've met you before, I'd like to talk to you. So the man looked at me, he said, okay, here's my business card, whatever, come to my office, I'll speak to you. Here's not the place. So he came. And he says to the man that gave the lecture, he says, tell me, he says, how in the world do you have the chutzpah to give such a lecture about Nevi'ah Yisrael? He says, it was only a few years ago that you were in Czechoslovakia, and I was in a slave labor camp, and you came to that slave labor camp to try to persuade the Jews to convert to Christianity. He said, and we so despised you that not only the religious people, but even the irreligious people laughed you out, who wanted even under those conditions that if we converted, we would be released from the slave labor camp. And we all laughed you out. Nobody. And now you have the chutzpah to come to a shul to talk about Nevi'ah Yisrael? What are you? He says, I'll tell you what happened in my life. He says, you're right, I'm that person. He says, I became a mishumet in Europe. So after I became a mishumet, I decided, listen, if I'm a Christian, so I have to go to the seat of the Catholic religion to learn what Christianity is, how else am I going to experience it fully. So I traveled to the Vatican. I came to the Vatican, and I saw in the St. Peter's Basilica, there's the papal throne, the throne where the Pope sits. And opposite his chair, there was a big statue of one of their people, and there was something, they were holding something like a book in their hands. That was the sculpture. So I borrowed a pair of binoculars, and I look up, and what's in this, what's facing the Pope as he sits in his chair in the holiest place in their religion? He says, in Hebrew, they have their Saras Adibris. So he says, I stopped to think for myself. He says, what's going on here? He says, if the greatest inspiration that they could have for their holiest person in their holiest place is the Aseres Adibris, he says, so what in the world did I come here for? He says, that's what I came here for. The Aseres Adibris is mine. I don't need them to give me the Aseres Adibris. If that's all they have to offer is the Aseres Adibris for their holiest men, I have that already. What do I need this for? So I decided this is, I went in the wrong course in life and I became a Balchuva. Now, for a person to undergo that process, a person has to believe in the process of Tshuva. For a person to think what he was involved in and what he did and how egregious it was, should destroy a person. It's only if a person has belief, as the Rambam says, that he could conceivably come to do tshuva from such a thing. But Rabbeinu Shel Olam stands ready to accept every one of us if we're willing to open the door and go through. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.